Okay, today I want to discuss with you the topic of reach, fragrances. It says in this parasha, reach bini ki reach hasodeh asher berecho Hashem. When Yaakov came to Yitzchak, disguised as Esav, and he was just about ready to bless him, and he felt him, he bent down, and Yitzchak Avinu smelled Yaakov Avinu. And he said these words, Re'ei reach bini ki reach hasodeh asher berecho Hashem. Look, the reach of my son is like the reach of the field which Hashem has blessed him. I believe Rashi says that this reach that Yaakov smelled was the reach of Gan Eden. How did Yaakov Avinu know what Gan Eden smelled like? So Chazal said the simple interpretation is that because at the time of the Akedah, Yitzchak kimad parcha nishmaso, his neshama just about departed, and they called Hatzalah. And those days, Hatzalah came from Gan Eden, especially unit from Gan Eden, which came to the rescue of Yitzchak, and they resuscitated him, and they repaired his... They did a job on him, and during that period of time, when he was in the ambulance, when he was in the Hatzalah Shel Gan Eden, in their ambulance, he inhaled the fragrance of Gan Eden, and that stayed with him for the rest of his life. And later, now, when Yaakov was coming for the bracha, he smelled that fragrance, and it reminded him of the Akedah. That's the Parashat. Now, from this pasuk in the Sefer Shvili HaMinug, he elaborates upon the inyanim of reach. He has a little few nice ideas about reach. B'shvili haminuk, by Rav, Dvorkis, Eliakim Dvorkis. Say for shvili haminuk, he takes this pasuk as a starting point to discuss the topic of reach, of fragrances. And in fact, I have here in front of you a fantastic sefer called Reach Nichoyach. It's a whole sefer devoted leket in yonei horeach behalacha veagada. A whole sefer devoted to the topic of fragrances. Halacha, agada, the sefer has a lot of yonei halacha. When do you make a bracha? When do you not make a bracha? Mitzvah Shabbos, all the laws of making the bracha, borei minei besamim. Then he has yonei agada, whole section of Agada, all different Mamari Chazal, what Chazal have to say about different inyanim of Reach. And then he goes through the entire year, where we find Reach throughout all the festivals of the year, different days of the year, in Halacha and Agada. And then a good chunk of the Sefer, he's devoted to stories, Hasidish stories, about different Hasidish Rebbes who want to sign the... different stories. Now, maybe you can help me with this. This is before my time. There's something called tabak, shmek tabak. Does anyone here remember a time when in shul?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Oh yes.
So tell me about it. What, you grew up with this? Or tell me. A snuff. You have a little box.
I'm in charge of tabak.
Yom kippur. You bring it in. Let's see what.
Dr. Friedman has it in his tabak.
Yes, what does he have? What is it? What is tabak?
Different
flavors.
I said it.
Tobacco?
I think it is
tobacco. Flavored tobacco.
It gives you a wake up call.
Yom kippur.
Put it in your nose.
Yom kippur, they come.
You make a bracha on it? You don't make a bracha.
No
bracha. No bracha on tabak. So it appears that this is an ancient minhag going back 1,000 years to inhale tabak at different time. Before you daven, it's put down. There's a minhag that before you daven, you're supposed to take a sniff of tabak to open up your mind to prepare yourself for davening. It's put down the Morvah Katsiyah. This is a side. The Torah even alludes to this. It seems the all different minhag. Yeah, today, I don't know, among my circles, I don't see anyone have anything to do.
Yeah, Sfarim usually carry around some.
The Sfarim, that's not tabak.
No.
Chassidim had this inion of to smell tabak.
He's got
three different versions.
Last week I said to him, is that what I think it is? He said, yeah.
Tabak, okay.
Make
first the bracha, some, then the tabak. Okay. It appears this. I remember there was a person. I had a neighbor who he took me into his house and he showed me his prized possession. It was the case.
The collector.
the case which one of the famous rebbes, I don't know which rebbe it was, from going back 200 years ago, it was his case, it was his tabak. He told me what he paid for it, bought at an auction. It was his case which he stored his personal tabak and he used throughout his life, or during a certain tkuf of his life. And he, it was his prized possession, and he showed me, took it out. Okay, so this is the big idiot. This is a Hasidic sefer, and he has here a whole section devoted to this inyan of tabak, where it comes from, different stories, different minhagim, remazim. I'm not all familiar with this. Okay, but let's just focus on a couple of the ideas, the concept of reyach in Chazal, halach and agada. The most probably the most famous concept, most topic relating to reyach is the chait of Adam Harishon. Adam Harishon, when he was chayte, but even the Eitz Hadas, the Pesukim mentioned all the senses. Adam Harishon, he saw that it was toiv, it was good to eat. He asked, so you have the chush hariyah. Chava told Nachash, Hashem said, don't touch it. Nachash says, really? Hashem said, don't touch it? Nachash pushed Chava onto the Eitz Hadas, and Chava touched the Eitz Hadas. Nothing happened to her. Obviously, Chava and Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas. Hashem told Adam and Chava, I'm warning you, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. They heard Hashem. Hashem gave them a command. And the command was expressed in the Koyach HaDibur, and their ears heard. So in the parasha of the Eitz Hadas, we basically have all of the senses. They saw that it was good, it was delicious. They heard Hashem instructing them not to eat. They actually touched it. And they ate it. The chush hari'i, the chush hashmi, the chush hanishush, and the chush of achila. The only sense that's omitted, it's not mentioned at all in the chait of the Eitz Hadas, is the chush harech. Nowhere does it say, which is surprising, nowhere does it say that Adam and Rishon, Adam and Chava smelled the fragrance of the Eitz Hadas, and that entice them to partake from the Eitz Hadas. Certainly if we learn that the Eitz Hadas was the Esrog, and the Esrog is a very pleasant aroma, so certainly that would be an incentive to eat from the Eitz Hadas and not obey the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But yet that was not part of the picture, that was not mentioned at all in the Chet Eitz Hadas, there's no mention. From this Chazal learn that Ad Hayom Hazeh, the only Chush that remains 100% pure and Tohar is the Chush HaReach. All of the other senses have been nifkan, have been damaged by Adam Harishon, been tainted by harmed by Adam Harishon through the Chet Eitz Hadas. Everything starts from there. The whole world changed when Adam rebelled against Hashem by eating from the Eitz Hadas. And in that sin, all of his senses participated, sight, hearing, touching, and eating. But the Chush HaReach was innocent. That escaped, unscathed. Nothing happened. It's pure. And therefore, Ad Hayom Hazeh, we all know that when a person wants to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through something that's pure. You have to start out with a small particle of purity, and from there build and do tshuva and come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even to the parts of a person that are not pure. Therefore, that is why Reach plays a very important role in our Jewish ceremony, especially among the Svardim. Svardim are very much into besamim. They make a bracha on bari mine besam, bari atzei besam, by a wedding, or by a bris, or by a pigin haben. Ashkenazim are not that much into it, because when you want to experience something in a spiritual sense, you need to enter through an object or through a sense that is 100% pure, 100% spiritual, that has not been tainted through any chait whatsoever. Okay, that's one very popular idea. Now, Chazal tell us, why do you make a bracha? You tell us that you are required to make a bracha when you inhale, you smell the samim. And the bracha is borei minei b'sam, borei atzei b'samim, and it comes from the makor comes, kol ha'neshama, to halel ka, a zel davasha neshama. What object is there in this world which the neshama has benefit from? Zehareach. It is the only thing. When a person smells something pleasant, the body does not derive any benefit whatsoever. The only part of the body that derives benefit is the neshama. The soul derives benefit, but not the guf. There's a fascinating Marsha. I'm certain there must be some scientific research if this Marsha, what modern science says about this Marsha, that animals do not derive any pleasure from fragrance. Animals certainly have a sense of smell. In fact, their sense of smell is far superior than human beings. We know dogs, we know all these, especially today, high-tech, bomb-sniffing dogs and all these different things. But do they derive benefit? A human being, when he smells something that has a pleasant aroma, there's a benefit. Ah, it's good, I like it, I enjoy it. There's a certain sense. Animals, they smell, there's no question. Is there a benefit? I'm sure they can do some type of test where they can different stimulants, different tests. Their
the
senses.
Tool, the tool for hunting.
What?
It's a tool for hunting.
What do you mean? But it's a sense. They able. You can train them. You can train a dog. Do you smell something? I don't know what science says. I'm just telling you what the Marsha says. I'm sure the science has something to say about this. Modern science, but according to the Marsha,
simply instinct.
Right, an instinct. Does it smell? Yes or no? Is it outside? Is it light or dark? Yeah, it's dark or light. It's just a matter of yes or no. Is there a benefit to the creature when they take in that sense of smell? The Marsha says, being that the reach relates to the neshama, and we have a tradition that animals do not have neshama. Animal has ruach chayim. That's where it stops. There are different levels of life. A human being has what's called a neshama. A klal yisrael, they have a higher madrega, they have a special type of neshama. But an animal does not have a neshama. It has a ruach chayim. According to the Marsha, in order to derive benefit from reach, you need a neshama. Animals do not have a neshama. It's not possible for them to enjoy reach. Anyone familiar with this idea? With animals? With animals having?
There might be a shaila about that because your sense of taste is related to your sense of smell.
So this is what the Marsha is saying, that by animals there's a difference. It's not like by human beings. By human beings, absolutely, we know that to be a fact.
Right.
Animals, he's saying it's not like that. They sense smell. But they smell. Oh, it has the right smell, therefore I will enjoy it when I consume it.
Apparently animals don't pursue pleasure. And humans
what do you mean don't pursue pleasure? It's all about pleasure of animals. Everything is pleasure.
No, it's instinct.
It's
instinct. Whereas humans, for example, human brain has
pleasure.
Pleasure
all right.
Portions of the brain that are stimulated by whatever stimuli and they pursue those things rather than necessarily just acting on pure instinct.
Okay, it's an idea. It's an idea, and this idea is quoted by everyone. Everyone that talks about the concept of reach will quote this Marsha, and they'll mention it, and they'll say, really, very interesting, and it has to be further understood if this is how...
I would think that, like, chimpanzees and stuff with them.
I don't know. He says that you have to have a neshama. In order to derive pleasure from reach, you need a neshama. Ruach chaim is not enough. Life is not enough to derive pleasure from the concept of the reach. Let's go to another idea. Reach is very unique in that there is no barocha acharoina. We know that as a halacha, every time a person derives benefit from this world, you eat a piece of bread. You have to recite hamotzi lechem min aretz, and when you conclude your meal, you ben birchas hamazon. If you eat fruit or mizonos or even water, you recite a shahakol bar per eitz, bar per yadama, and you conclude with a bari nefashos. Why is it that with regard to reach, from all of the items which you derive benefit from, there is no barocha acharona? There is no concluding bracha. Very interesting concept in halacha. So I'll give you the three answers. First answer is because there's no such thing as having a shiur in order to make a bracha acharona. To make a bracha, let's take a cup of water. A person wants to drink a cup of water. You're not allowed to drink even the smallest amount of liquid, smallest amount of anything without making a bracha rishayna. But to make a bracha acharona, you must have at least consumed a shiur. A person drinks a cup of water, a cup of coffee, and you drink a cup of coffee over a period of more than 4 minutes, many poskim say you don't make a bari nefashos. If you don't drink a revius, if you don't drink at least 4 ounces of liquid, in a period of time of achilas pras, which let's say, assume is between 2 to 9 minutes, which let's say you'll say it's whatever it's going to be, many poskim will say you don't make a bari nefashos and a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, if you don't drink it quick enough, fast enough. So when it comes, because you have to have a shear. When it comes to reach, there's no such thing as a shear. What is reach? It's a dover she'in bo mamish. It's not something that's tangible. It's not a food which you could have a volume or a vias, 4 ounces. I have a certain volume of food, 1 ounce of food. There's no memela. It's not possible. Although it's true that the bracha you make on reich is a berachas hanenin, it's a bracha that one makes before he derives pleasure. But being that you cannot put it in terms of volume and measurement, there is no such thing as making a bracha acharon. That is one approach. Another approach as to why we don't make a bracha acharona is because it does not remain in the system long enough to make a bracha acharona. In other words, when you eat bread, you eat a nice meal, you mechuyev to bench. What happens if you wait 72 minutes? Can you still bench? Once the time of walking 5 mil pass, you can no longer make a bracha acharona because we assume that the body consumed equal. This body already has consumed, has digested the food. The food is no longer in the body in a significant way where it's present that you can make the bracha acharona. Before you eat the food is in front of you. You have a piece of bread, it's right in front of you. You eat the bread, you swallow, you chew, it's in your stomach. It's there. It's right there. It's in your stomach. It's in your stomach, so you can make birchas hamazon. But if you wait 72 minutes, it's not in your stomach anymore. Where is it? It has dissolved. It has dissolved at least to the degree where it's not present in a significant way where you can make a bracha acharona. What is reich? Let's say you can put reich in terms of volume. There's a shi. Let's put aside the first approach. Go to a chemist, and he'll tell you we have a full dosage. Okay, this is as big as it gets. You've inhaled a sheer mole. Okay, a chazonish sheer. But after it goes into your nostrils, it dissipates. It's gone. It disappears. It's not present in your system in a significant way where you can make a bracha acharona. That is the second approach. A third approach is a fasting chiddush with tzlach, which appears to be direct contradiction to the Rambam. The tzlach says something shocking, that the bracha you make on reach is not a birchas hanenin. It's a birchas hashevach. Unbelievable. Just like you go to birchas hachama, right? Birchas hachama once in 28 years. Or you make kiddush levana. That's a birchas hamitzvah. You make a birchas hashevach. You make a hatoiva hametiv. Some type of praise you give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is there a bracha achron on a birchas hashevach? Of course not. When you make a bracha on reach, it's a birchas hashevach. You have created in this world something which is unique, which is special, fragrance, it's invisible, but it's there, and we do our pleasure, and therefore we thank you, we give you praise for creating such an object. It's not a birchas hanenin. The laws of birchas hashevach never have a bracha acharona. So in total, we have three different reasons why we don't make a birchas acharona on reach. Either there is no shear, a shear cannot; it's not subject to being defined in volume and measurement, or it's because it dissipates, it's no longer present, or it's not a birchas hanenin, it's a birchas hashevach, it's a praise, like saying halal. When you say halal, you only make the bracha before, there's no shear as making a bracha afterwards. That's not a good example. But generally, a birchas hashevach does not have a bracha achron. Okay, now let's go to another.
When do you make a bracha rishonah?
Before you smell it.
You can walk into a room and you smell someone's perfume.
No, so you only, the perfume you make a bracha. Perfume, you only make a bracha on something sheyesh by mamish. You have spices. Atzei b'salya, you have a hadasim. A hadas, you have a dover sheyesh by mamish. You have something you could hold on to. It's tangible. And that which is tangible produces fragrance. Has to come from, grow from the ground. Synthetic chemicals in halacha is not called, it's not the original.
My wife likes to smell the esrog, she should make a bracha.
Technically, yes. Technically, you do make a bracha of what bracha do you make? On esrog? On esrog, you make something else. A reach toiv. There's a bracha that you do make. He even brings down the bracha here somewhere. The bracha you make on smelling an esrog, there is a bracha. You do make a bracha if you're dealing with something, a product of the earth, whether it's a natural product of the earth, and it produces a pleasant fragrance. You make a bracha. It's in the siddur. You do make a bracha. Now let's come to another idea. Do you make a shechianu on the first time you smell a new fragrance? Interesting question. Okay, so you have over here an exotic form of besanim, certain type of a tree which produces an exotic smell, and it's the first time in your life when you have come in contact with this branch, and you're going to smell something you've never smelled before. Do you make a bircha shechem? Many poskim hold you don't. Why? Unbelievable. Because what is fragrance? Fragrance is something which your neshama derives benefit from. 99% of the bircha shechem that we derive benefit from relate to our bodies, our guf, physical body. Come into this world, you have a physical body. How long does the physical body last? It lasts for a period of time, for 120 years, maybe a little bit longer. 120 years. The body didn't exist, and now the body has come into this world. The body is here, has pleasure. So you make a bracha, shechianu, you've given us life, v'kimanu v'higiyanu lazman hazeh. The neshama, it's not appropriate to make a bracha, shechianu, when it relates only to the neshama. Because the neshama is not something which has come to life. The neshama is nitzchi. The neshama existed at the time of creation, and the neshama will exist forever, whatever that means. We don't have to know what that means exactly, but the rules that apply to the neshama are not the same rules that apply to the guf. The text of Shehechiyanu, you have given us life, v'higiyanu, you've given us life, and we've made it this far, which means there was a possibility that we could have been terminated before this moment has arrived and not derived this benefit. That implies that this benefit that we have is relating to an object which came on the scene at a later point in time and will cease to exist at some point in time in the future. We just happen to be lucky that we chap the rain and we derive benefit. Shehechiyanu, you've given us life, v'kimanu, and you've allowed our life to endure, v'higiyanu lazman hazeh. That's true and fine when it relates to the guf, to the body. When the body, the physical body, has pleasure, because the body did not exist not that long ago, and the body will cease to exist at a certain point in time, but yet we were fortunate to be in this world during that period of time. But you can't apply that nusach, that text, to the neshama, because the neshama is not something that you can say, shehechiyanu, you've given it life, and it continues to exist, and we've reached this point in time. It's not proper, because the neshama is nitzchi. It is eternal, it was before, will be after, whatever form it is, which we don't have to understand, and it's not the appropriate bracha. Therefore, you should not make a bircha shechianu on a fragrance which you are smelling for the very first time. The bracha is just not the appropriate bracha. Very interesting idea.
That's here, by the way, Hanoisen Reach Toil Paris.
Oh, Hanoisen Reach Toil Paris. Article Sitter, what page?
105.
The last one of the Birchas Hanenah. Does anyone do that?
I think they do. I once saw someone do that.
What do you do is you make a
Nesamah. I remember learning about it, but I didn't.
No, on a fruit. On a fruit. It's a Gemara. It's Feresh the Gemara.
Yeah,
a fruit. We don't generally make these type of brachas, but it can be done.
What about a flower?
Take it out, orange,
What about a flower?
Is it a seed?
That's a different.
What? That's achila. That comes into your body.
No.
If it's a significant smell, so you would make either the bari atse besamim or asve. Grasses or.
Ali says al asve or it's or prochim.
Prochim. So you make another bracha. There are brachas that you make. Okay, now let's go to another question. Another issue. Very interesting issue.
You're supposed to usually would make a bracha before. How do you know you can smell it? If you see something,
you have to have trust. You have to know in advance. You have to know in advance that you will smell. For that reason, the reason that you're suggesting many people do not make these high brachas is because they don't consider it to be a significant benefit. The other example that is applied to is the birchas shechianu. When you buy a new suit, do you make a shechianu? So it depends on the person. Right. There are many people, many businessmen who buy a new suit every couple of months, every couple of weeks. They're very wealthy and they need to buy to dress very well for business purposes. They buy clothing very often. Right. So do they make a shechianu every time they buy a new suit? Shulchan Aruch it says he's supposed to. If you buy kelim chadash and you buy a new wardrobe, he's supposed to make a shechianu. So why is it the custom today that you don't see people making a shechianu every other day? Because it's not a big simcha. It's a routine. It's not a big deal.
You buy it when you wear it for
when you wear it, when you wear it, either or, it's not a big deal. You don't. So the poskim say is that the bircha shachiyanu in many ways depends. It's a personal bracha. Do you really have benefit? Do you really feel simcha? If you don't really feel the simcha when you buy a new car, then there you make a tovah meitiv. It's not just for you. So that's not a real smell. That's a fake smell. That's a fake smell. So you don't. So when it comes to fragrances, fragrances pretty much follow that rule. Many people today don't appreciate. If you're not a connoisseur, you don't really. Doesn't mean anything to you. Oh, you'll give me an exotic fruit. Doesn't mean anything to what it smells like. So that's why we don't generally make. You really appreciate what it smells like. Absolutely, then you should be mechuyev, and you're definitely allowed to make these type of brachas.
He made a point when Rabbi Pearl said he never makes a shekel when he buys a suit because it's such a terrible experience when he's shopping with his wife. He can't, so he doesn't make a shekel. He buys a suit.
Okay. Okay, let's go to another idea. Chazal teach us a person makes a bracha on Reach from the pasuk Kol Haneshama Tahalelka Izehu Davar Shehaneshama Nenebo Zeruach. Special pasuk. All the farshim asked the question: why do we need a special pasuk for Reach? Why is it not included in the regular halacha of Asal Adam Lechonis Melam Hazeh? La Hashem Oretz, the Gemara Masechta Brachos says we have a pasuk of La Hashem Oretz Umuloa, and the other pasuk says Hashemayim Shemayim Hashem Oretz Nosan Livnei Adam. So how do we reconcile the contradiction? Is it Hashem's world? Is it our world? Kan Koydim Bracha, Kan Liacha Bracha. Chazal go on to elaborate. Call they not allowed to derive benefit from anything in this world. So how? Why do Chazal have a need to discover a special pasuk to teach us that you make a bracha when you inhale, you smell fragrances? So the answer given is, Chazal's terminology is kol hanene me'olam hazeh b'loy bracha ki'ilu mo'al. It's as if you have committed the sin of mi'ilu. What is mi'ilu? Deriving benefit from hegdish. Something belongs to the Beis HaMikdash and you derive benefit without paying for it, without redeeming it. This is a violation of mi'ila, and you are obligated to pay the value, the benefit, plus an additional fifth. The world is holy. It's not yours. It belongs to Hashem. Deriving benefit, how do you desanctify something? By making a bracha. Problem is, if a person goes to the Beis HaMikdash and smells their fragrances with a bracha, without a bracha, is he obligated to? Is he chayiv for mi'ila? Does he need to bring a carbon mi'ila? Does he have to pay the Beis HaMikdash for the benefit that he derived? So on and so forth. The answer is no. Chazal's rule is on tam, koil, and then on tam, on koil, mara, three things. Koil, mara, and reach, ein boy mishum ila. If you go to the Beis HaMikdash and you listen to the Kohanim play the musical instruments and you derive enormous benefit, enormous pleasure, which you otherwise pay a lot of money for, you are not have not violated the prohibition of the ila. If you look at something that's beautiful that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, there's no violation. And if you smell a fragrance, an aroma of the Beis HaMikdash, you're not chayef mila, because these are dvarim she'ein bohem mamash. There is no physical substance. And if a dvar she'ein bohem mamash, there is no chiv, there's no mila by koil, reach, and mare. Now, let's go a step further. Since Chazal described the prohibition of deriving benefit from this world with the terminology of mi'ilo, kol hanenu elam hazeh b'loy bracha ki'ilu mo'al. So if we just focus on the source of making a bracha from this Maimon Chazal, when it comes to fragrance, there's no mi'ilo. Because fragrance is one of the three things which it says in the Gemara, ein boy mishum mi'ila. So the source for a bracha that would apply to every other thing would not apply to reach. Why do we need to make a bracha before we derive benefit from anything in this world, before we eat a piece of bread? Because kol hanene ba'olam hazeh b'loy bracha ki'ilu mo'al. But the Gemara also says, on koil, mare, and reach, Ein bo mishum mi'ila does not fit in the category of mi'ila. There is no violation. So the source, since the source for making a bracha on every single thing that we derive benefit from this world comes from a concept of mi'ila, and reyach is not included in the concept of mi'ila, we would ordinarily not be obligated to make a bracha. That is why Chazal had to come on to the pasuk of kol haneshama tahalel ka, a special pasuk to teach us that something which the neshama derives benefit does require a bracha, and specifically when it comes to reyach.
All those three, yeah, qualify as
shevach.
All, so you're coming.
They're grouped together.
No, not shevach.
Why not?
Because coil. That's not necessarily. So you're having pleasure. You're having personal
all
pleasure.
Tangible things.
Can you make a bracha yotzar every day? That's also a bracha. That's the bracha of shevach. Okay, but that's the Rambam seems to clearly say that the kol of the bracha on reyach is brachas hanen. That's what the tzlach. The tzlach is mechadish. It's brachas hanen. It's brachas hashevach. Okay, it's a different. Okay, it's a different approach. Okay, let's go to another idea. I'll just tell you something very interesting I came across. This is really an introduction to the next idea I want to bring out. I'm the last person to tell you to do something that's a skula. Okay, I'm not a believer in skulas. I want to give a share one day on skulas. There's a three-volume sefer called Bini Chaye Mizone. It's a collection of the most bizarre things you've ever heard in your life. Things to do to be zochet for who knows what, for children, for parnasa, for shiduchim. I'm not at all into skulas, but there are different types of skulas. What do I mean by different types of skulas? Sometimes there's a mitzvah, which you anyway do the mitzvah. Right? You anyway do the mitzvah. If you're going to do the mitzvah, they tell doing this mitzvah, you should have, by the way, it's also a segula for a certain thing that you never expect. So that's not such a bad thing, because if I'm anyway going to do the mitzvah, it's part of halacha, and by the way, it's also a segula. Okay, so it inspires you to do the mitzvah better. Shluch HaKan. I'm not going to do it. Unless I'm out in the field and I happen to find, I'm not into this school. Oh, you should go take out the Jewish press, and back you'll find an advertisement, there's a person special on the Shluch HaKan, and if you do Shluch HaKan, it's a school for ABCD. Go do it. I'm not in the business of doing Shluch HaKan. If I happen to go in a certain circle of working in the field and happen to find it, I'll do the mitzvah. I'm not searching to do certain types of mitzvah, so there should be a school. But when you're dealing with a mitzvah, which you do anyway do the mitzvah, and you don't concentrate that much on the mitzvah, and now someone tells you, it says somewhere that if you do it, when you do it, it's a school of a certain thing, it definitely enhances your appreciation of the mitzvah. More than that, a lot of these schoolists in the books, in these books that have schoolists, obviously don't work. Okay, that's. However, they do open up, they give you insight into the nature of the mitzvah. Okay, you're not going to do the skula to accomplish something. But why is this particular thing a skula for that? There must be some type of relationship. Let's think about it. And the more you delve into it, the more you begin to appreciate the deeper meaning of a mitzvah. So at least the skula does accomplish that. That is definitely is an accomplishment. And what do I want to bring out? I have something very bizarre in this sefer. It brings down from one of the Gedolei Yisrael that Mitzvah Shabbos, when you a mekayim the mitzvah of borei minei b'sam. Every mitzvah Shabbos, the neshama Yisrael leaves, and we're faint. As Chazal tell us, we're weak when the neshama leaves. We have to revive our neshama, so we make a bracha on b'samim, borei minei b'samim, to revive the neshama. If a person does the mitzvah the right way, it's a segula that none of his children should ever chas v'shalom do a terrible avera. His children will always go b'derech Hashem. That's the school. So the question is, my inyan zel zel. What's going on over here? Smelling the besamim, the tzoy Shabbos, inhaling the besamim is a segula that the children, gesundheit, is a skula. You must have smelled something. is a skula that a person's children should be zoicha should go on the right derech, should not chas shalom doing too terrible out there. My inyan zel lezeh. That's one issue. Another issue, which you just touched upon, is the Gemara says that the ketores, the fragrance of the ketores was so powerful, the goats, if I'm not mistaken, the goats in Yericho would sneeze from the fragrance of the besamim. Now, what do you see in this chazal? You don't need a chazal to tell you this, but if you have a chazal, it makes that there's a relationship between sneezing and reach. Now, what is sneezing? We once had a whole shiur on sneezing. Sneezing, to ancient times, a person who would sneeze, it was curtains. It was over. And that's why it was special bracha. When a person sneezes and he's still alive, that it's asusa, it's health, it represents life. It represents vayipach piyap of nishmas chaim, that even though the person sneezes, the person, it represents a concept of life, of chaim. Fragrance brings to sneezing. And sneezing represents that the fact that a person is alive after he sneezes represents a dosage of chayim. It's Shulchan Aruch. A person sneezes during Shemona Esrei. We once spent the whole shiur on this. A person sneezes during Shemona Esrei, and you can be certain that you cannot attribute this act of sneezing due to any reason. You can't. It's not because you have a cold. It's not because you smell tabak or because of any artificial reason. It's a very good siman. It's a siman hashamayim. They're very pleased with you, and your tefillah has been accepted. It's a good siman. So you see that sneezing represents some type of life, and so when it comes to children, that smelling the besam. So what is it all about? So I want to just connect this to this week's parsha. This week's parsha, Yaakov Avinu comes and brings the matanim to Yitzchak. Yitzchak says, As I told you the Poshup Shat, how does Yaakov know from the Reach B'ni? He knows it from Gan Eden. How does he know Gan Eden? From the Akeda. But there's another Mahalach. Re'ei Reach B'ni K'reach Sodeh. When did Yaakov go out to the Sodeh? What does Yitzchak know from the Sodeh? Yitzchak wasn't a farmer. He didn't have an orchard. What's the Sodeh? K'reach HaSodeh. So what is the most prominent pasuk of Sodeh relating to Yitzchak? Last week's Pasha. Vayetze Yitzchak lo suach basodeh. Yitzchak went out to the field to daven. What did he daven for? Chazal tell us, for his shidduch. What's the purpose of the shidduch? Children. That's tafkid of shidduchim. Shidduchim is to have children. Pruvu, priurvia. When here, he's now coming to give over the Birchas Avraham to the next generation. He's coming to pass over the heritage to the next generation. This is the test in life. Was he successful in life? Yitzchak Avinu got married. He did a shidduch. Was it the right shidduch? Even if it was the right shidduch, was he successful in raising children that are going to go b'derech Hashem? Now, at this point in time, when he has to give over the bracha to the next generation, he has to look back at his own life. Was he successful? Look at his children. He looks back. Did I make all the right decisions in life? When is the most critical decision? When he got married. What does he smell in Yaakov Avinu? He smells in him the tefillah, the kiyum ha-tefillah, the fulfillment of the tefillah that he made when he went to the Sodeh to pray for a zivuk. When he was being mispal for a zivuk, Hashem should give me the right zivuk and produce the right children, who shall yorish shemayim, who shall go b'derech Hashem. And look at that. Here it is right in front of me. Here it is all these years later. I have here a child in front of me. I can't see him. He was blind. But re'ei reach b'ni, the fragrance of my son is kireach hasod. This is exactly what I asked for. I was zoicha to this incredible bracha that Hashem fulfilled my bakosha, the tefillah of having good children was fulfilled. I see it right here. So this opens up for us an understanding, a much deeper understanding in this segula, okay, we use that word very, very carefully, of when a person who smells the besamim on Mitzvah Shabbos, that's the only time of the week, I believe, where there's a mitzvah, mamash, a mitzvah, shulchan aruch, to smell besamim. Am I mistaken? Is there another time we have to smell besamim during the week? Never. Any other time you smell besamim, if you even go to some Svarish wedding, that's not a mitzvah, that's just a minog. It's not a mukh. It's not a chiyuv. Meir Brachos is not a god.
Isn't it from David HaMelech?
Okay, but that's right. It's not the only bracha. It's Mitzvah Shabbos. When you focus on Reach, what are you thinking about? Re'ei Reach B'ni, it's Davar Shekula Ruchni. Tefillah. When you Omer Lefnei HaMelech, it's also a moment that's Kula Ruchni. Reach is Ruchni. And it's also a reminder of week begins to get your priorities in order, a reminder that just like Yitzchak was zoiche that his children, Yaakov Avinu, were the tefillah that he requested of HaKadosh Baruch when he got married was fulfilled with Yaakov Avinu, Reach Nikreach Sashabarach Hashem. That's also what every single person in their life also wants. And they want the barachos that were given to them, they were mispala under the chuppah early in their life, should come true, should come to fruition. Especially when it comes to Yanim Ruchniyim, when it comes to Reach, which is Kula Adavar Ruchni. That opens up a little bit of, let me just see if I've got anything. Okay, there's all kinds of Mashiach, the pasuk Yeshaya v'harichoy b'yiras Hashem. That Mashiach will have the ability to, I don't know exactly what this means, judge. To judge by smelling. Now, does that mean literally to smell? Is that what it means?
There's a scanner when you go to the airport.
Yeah.
When you walk through, it smells you.
It smells you?
It smells you. You go into it, sometimes the airport, yeah. they puff
so what are they trying to detect?
explosives? But the Israelis have developed fear, yeah. Produces a smell.
Unbelievable.
How do animals know if a person is fearful? They smell it. So you can
fascinating.
Smell if someone's lying or not.
Okay, very interesting. So that's what it says. There's such a concept. Bar Kozbi, the one who Rabbi Akiva believed was Melech HaMashiach, they tested him with this. They brought him people to judge, and they wanted to see if he can judge just by smelling them, and he failed. He was unable to do so, and they killed him as being a false Mashiach. So that's an interesting idea. What exactly does that mean? But the fragrance, Reach, is a super... It's something that was not nifkam and ma'aseh bereishis, and through Reach we will come to the ultimate tikkun of Yemos HaMashiach through Melech HaMashiach. Okay, well, that we will conclude.